passionate instigator, and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Time, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one Om at a time. And here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we like to bring you a wide variety of different guests and ideologies, and we like to see where we can make that make the spiritual world of Om Time dance with all the other worlds that are out there. And we have a fabulous dance partner tonight that I will be introducing to you in momentarily. But first, a few reminders. If you are listening to this at 6 p.m. Thursday Eastern Standard Time, then we are the live call-in show, and you can call in at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. Call in with your thoughts, your ideas, your questions. Or you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-V-I-N. Make sure you like the page when you're there. I'm a likable guy. And you will see tonight's show pinned to the top of the page. And you can also write your questions or comments there, and we will bring them on air for you. If you are listening to one of our many repeats of the podcast, you can still go to My Dr. Kevin on Facebook, and you can still post your questions after the show, and I will reach out to the guest, or if I can't answer it, and make sure we get you an answer. So whether you're here live or you're seeing it post-live, I don't want to say dead, doesn't sound right, then we can still get your questions answered. So as always in the Dr. Kevin Show, I start with a hot topic. A hot topic might be warming the cockles of my heart, or it might be getting me hot and bothered under the collar. I'm going to sound dreadfully predictable, unfortunately, to many of my listeners, because I have to tell you, my hot topic for the week has to be around our continuing Washington, D.C. version of a shit show. And the one specific thing I want to say, beyond all of the stuff that's going out, all the testimonies that are happening, all the people that are risking careers doing what many in D.C. are not doing right now, which is putting country above personal gain, above party, above anything. You know, we're not seeing that. We're seeing some sad behaviors. But what I just read before going on air is that the Senate Republicans are now deciding that they're thinking they're going to keep the impeachment to 2 weeks. Not however long it takes to get to the truth, not what's going to be, in the best interest of actually making the decision, because they've already decided they're not going to impeach him. So it doesn't make any difference, but they want it to look good. And so they've got together and they've pre-decided, even when not all the witness testimony is in, and even when many of these people have said they haven't even read the transcripts, they haven't even read the testimony, they do not care what the truth is. It is all party above country. And I don't care. I would be this upset about it if it was the Democrats doing it. It's not a party thing to me. To me, it is a sad statement of what we have allowed our government to become, which is so self-serving that it doesn't serve any of the American people anymore, and that's my hot topic. So I will be introducing tonight's guest, and then, as always, we put her right on the sizzle burn with me and see what she'd like to say about tonight's hot topic. And tonight's guest is Linda Sunshine West. Linda Sunshine West is a mastermind accountability coach. Boy, do I have some people I'd like to have you keep hold accountable right now, who helps driven female entrepreneurs gain confidence to ask for their worth, clarity to attract clients to them, and focus to get faster results. For an entire year in 2015, she faced one fear every day. In doing so, she gained an exorbitant amount of confidence and teaches her clients how to do the same so they get paid what they're worth. The Women Action Takers Mastermind and Accountability Program provides a supportive, judgment-free safe zone where her clients can share vulnerability in the strictest of confidence and not be judged. With over 35 years of experience training hundreds of people on various forms of technology, she provides training for her clients who are stuck on the tech stuff. Linda proudly donates 10% of her profits to the Giving Angels, a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to get homeless veterans off the streets and into the homes. You go, Linda. We've got a very important program right here in Nashua, New Hampshire, where we had a nonprofit that has gotten to the point where there's less than 1% of like that going on for veterans here. They can't say zero, but it's pretty much zero specifically. So I just thought, you go, girl. So anyway, Linda Sunshine, welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show.
Hello, Dr. Kevin. I'm a little worried about this topic of the day. It's true. Woo! Yeah. I'm just sitting here thinking the political arena is kind of interesting for me because I don't really get into it. I just kind of keep my head buried, which is not the best thing to do, but I'm just telling the truth. And I don't really know what's going on out there. I've had my head buried in the sand for the last couple of years. So I don't have much to say about that topic.
Well, I think that that is a wonderful, a wonderful way of not weighing in, and I think that it's difficult today because of all the stuff going on. But you know, this is a judgment-free zone, and everybody has to do what they want, what they feel like they need to do. What I would invite you to do, at the very least, at some point, is look at both of the two very powerful females that testified in the last few days, the ambassador and then Fiona Hill, who have been being celebrated as unflappable, as showing what real feminine power looks like, that they're there and they're speaking their truth and, they're taking, and they're, of course, taking the bully kind of attacks that we have come to expect through Twitter from this president.
Right.
But with what you do, at least watching those two testimonies, even if you don't want to get into the politics, I believe would be right up your alley, because those are two very successful and very unflappable women who are standing in front of a bunch of angry white men. And God knows that happens to poor women every day.
Yeah, I'm excited to listen in and see where this takes me, because you never know. You know, every person I talk to, I always have a chance to learn something new and to grow myself and to step into my power even more. So I'm looking forward to listening in to them. Thank you.
Yeah. We actually did a show. You can find it on where my podcasts go afterwards. But I did a show with Lori Powers Otto, and I celebrated women under 20 who were changing the world.
And we did
Greta Thunberg, but we did several other women that you don't hear about it, who are all between like 12 and 20 that are out there and actually making big change in the world and are speaking out and stuff like that. So anyways, Linda, welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Just any opportunity to share what's going on, how I help people to better themselves and to speak up for themselves. Because, I grew up in an abusive household, and I had my voice stifled for the first 51 years of my life. So it's kind of interesting that the topic of politics came up right out the gate, because that's a topic I've avoided practically my whole life, because I felt ignorant to it and that what I had to share wasn't of value. And so I kind of just, buried my head in the sand when it was about politics, because I didn't want to have that judgment against me, because I've been in a judgment world a lot of times. And now that I'm stronger, braver, more courageous, I'm willing to now look at it. So when you shared these names with me, now I'm to the point where I won't back away from sharing my own opinion or my own thoughts on it, because the fear that I used to have. So this is a great actually segue for me to it's like time for me to step up and start looking at the political arena and seeing what's going on and sharing my actual opinion about it and my voice.
Well, and you know, one of the things, and like you said, you haven't been watching a lot of this, and I understand, especially that someone that you know, we all share it in a different way, but shares an abusive childhood where mm-hmm. my voice, though not a female voice, still a voice, got suppressed mm-hmm. and was punished for expressing opinions. But, you know, in 2018, we had the most women ever take offices in Washington, in the House of Reps and in statewide races. And one of the positive things that's happened is more women are saying, I will no longer be stifled. I must speak my voice. I must fight for what is right. And I am so excited to see more strong female voices out there standing up for what they believe is right. Even if I don't agree, even I might not agree with what that strong feminine voice is there, I will always applaud because I understand that after 2,000 years of very subtle and sometimes very subtle and oftentimes very obvious suppression and punishment mm-hmm. for speaking out, that we need to celebrate whenever a woman finds her voice.
I totally agree. And I agree with the men, too, because just like you said, you know, a lot of men grew up in abuse and their voices were stifled, too. So for me, it's more like it's about just, you know, humans speaking out and not being scared to share their voice. And for me, I just happen to concentrate on women because I find that I can help them better. It's something that's kind of like in my wheelhouse, is to give them that courage to do something that they're terrified to do. And so it's been awesome.
Yeah. So, and it's good. You know, there is some, I'm not going to deny the truth of a shared voice, that, you know, that a shared experience and can sometimes, I often say that people, you know, that become healers in the world oftentimes do have suffered at some hands of tragedy or abuse early on, but it gives them a compassionate point for which they reach out and help other people that are stuck in the tunnel that had some experience that is least relatable. And by having a relatable experience, when they reach out their hand and say, here, I can help you out of this tunnel, you know that they can because they were in there and they got out of it. And that's so powerful.
Yeah, and it's kind of, and that, what's interesting about that, too, is that, you know, being in that position, sometimes it causes a lot of frustration as well, because here you're like, I know you can do this. I know you can get out of there. You don't have to stay there. And there can be some, you know, frustration and aggravation in the fact that they don't want to take those steps, but it is their life in the end, right? And we have to respect that, you know, maybe they're just not ready yet. Maybe I'm not the person who's going to help them get out of there. Maybe they'll never get out of there. I don't know, but I can't take it on myself to be my responsibility.
Oh, no. And it's, you know, my primary practice for 30 years has been as a spiritual coach, counselor, and catalyst. And, you know, and I have tell people and have told and tell and will continue to tell people that know what they have to do but can't do it. You'll do it when you're ready. Mm-hmm. I just need you to understand you are choosing not to.
Right.
That's
a tough one.
I can't stand here and support you to be a victim. It's okay to decide you're not ready. It's okay to decide that you're scared. It's okay that that's where you are. But it's not okay to think you have no choice. You have a choice. Just like you. Go ahead.
Well, I remember one day I was in the kitchen. This was probably about 6 years ago. And I had started putting on some weight. You know, my mom had died. I found out I had hypothyroid. And I started putting on weight. And I think I was kind of using those as excuses to gain weight, right? And my husband, I said, oh, I'm so frustrated. I put on these pounds and I'm dieting and I can't lose any weight and all this stuff. And he looked at me, he said, well, this is your choice. And I said, I don't choose to be fat. I was so mad at him for telling me that. So it's interesting. And, you know, this was before I started any self-development work, any, you know, changes in my life. And I was so stuck in that victim mindset that for him to tell me that this was my choice, I just got madder and madder at him. You know, instead of at myself and looking at that was the reality, I was choosing what I was eating. I was choosing everything.
Yep. Well, and the funny thing is, you were not choosing to be fat.
Right.
You were choosing to find comfort and to get comfort in things that were creating a situation that made it worse. And that's and that's a hard delineation point that sometimes people have to understand, because it is a struggle, you know, to do that. So we're going to move into, I always ask, you know, as you know, because you were a great radio guest. You actually read the sheet.
I did.
I can't tell you how many people come on the show and I ask them the three questions. They go, those are great questions. I wish, you know, let me think about it for a second. And I go, no, radio, dead air. I send them ahead of time. So anyway, where would you like to take my listeners outside the box?
And you know what?
Go ahead.
Yeah. And, you know, when I submitted that, which was, I think, last week, I might change my answers, but I'm still ready no matter what, just so you know. I'm ready.
So I want you to know something. I refuse to read the answers because I want my guests. I want to have the same reaction to what you say or response that my listeners do. So I actually don't. I never read what you said because I don't want to know. And I give you full permission to change everything you were going to say and know that it will still be fabulous. Go for it.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Thank you. Well, one thing I would like to talk about is taking action. You know, one thing I realized throughout my life is that without action, nothing happens. And so I want to talk about taking action, how
action.
To do that.
Okay. And the music's coming in. I have no control over break. We'll be right back with Linda Sunshine West here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. Remember, we're doing a live call-in show, so you can call in at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. And you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin as well. You can leave your comments there. You can read all about tonight's guest, Linda Sunshine West, including her contact information. And you can also leave questions or comments there, and we'll bring them on the show for you. What I will tell you is you can find out more about what Linda does at livingliveinc.com or Facebook Living Live Inc. So that's livingliveinc.com. But we have a full array of things, ways to contact Linda if you come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. Linda, you were talking about taking action, and the music took action, and we're going to pick it up from there.
Yeah, the music took action and took us out of here. You know, what I love about action, you know, I started a brand called Women Action Takers. And the reason I started that is because I realized that so often people, you know, women included, you know, say things like, I wish this, I'm going to pray for that. Man, I'm dreaming that someday I have this desire and this want to do something. But when the thing is staring them right in the face, they don't take the action that's necessary to have that desire that they want. And I found out in 2015, I faced the fear every single day. And I did that because I was going through a growth period of my life. I was changing my life. I started stepping out to become a different person, to become the person I wanted to be, not the person I felt like I was destined to be. And I found that by facing a fear every day, I had to take action every day, and it really changed my life. So I want to talk about action today because there's so many action steps that are probably staring you in the face right now that you're not taking because you have a fear that's stopping you from taking them. But what if you actually took that action and things turned out bad, but at least you did it, right? And you don't have any regrets. Or you take that action and things turn out for the best, which most time things turn out better than you ever anticipated. So, you know, action is so important. It's the most important thing for us to do in order to have the success we want, because otherwise we can live our life with regrets, and we don't want to do that, right? And that's my opinion, at least.
So first of all, it makes me, it always makes me think of, that whole thing where we say, if you take an action and it doesn't lead you where you went, at least it took you somewhere, and then you have more knowledge, experience, and wisdom to take a different action, to get somewhere, to go somewhere. And the only failure is not taking action.
Yeah, because when you fail, there's lessons that you can learn. So I used to be the kind of person who would, because of my past, the abuse that I grew up in, my life was all about blaming and shaming and judging. And that's what my life was all about. So when I would fail, I would beat myself up like crazy. I was my own worst enemy, big time. I would call myself stupid and like, God, how could you have done that? And I would just beat myself up. But what I discovered is that instead of beating myself up, when I would say, I would ask myself a question, what did I learn by the actions that I took? And there was always some kind of lesson of what not to do next time. And the next time I might still fail, but not as badly as the time before. And then eventually it turns around to the point where, wow, look at this. I'm actually doing this. And this has been amazing. I'm so glad I took that first action step and I continue to do that.
And, and one of the things is, I think that even sometimes I personally shy away from the word fail from the standpoint of I tried it and it didn't get me where I thought it was going to get me. And so now, again, with more information, more wisdom, more experience, more ahas, then I am going to try again. And I really limit the idea that I fail. You fail when you give up. And you fail when you don't do. And everything else is just a step in succeeding.
That's true. And what's interesting about words, like the wordsmithing and stuff, is that I choose to see, I don't see failure either anymore, like I used to, right? But one thing I've learned is the way I speak, sometimes I need to speak to the people I want to attract because those are the words they're using. Now, I don't use the word failure. I've used the word lessons. I've used the word moving forward, feed forward. I don't even call it feedback anymore. But the words that I use, just because I use the word feed forward doesn't mean anybody understands what it means. So I have to really look at like what language am I using at the time that I'm speaking it, so that I'm speaking to the person that I want to attract, right? It's kind of this crazy thing about being in business.
Well, and it's one of those, you know, and it's one of those marketing things, because just before we went on air, I said, you know, I go by Dr. Kevin.
Right.
And you were kind enough to not say, immediately say, well, who do you think you are? Big shot.
Oh, no.
Because I said,
you
it's
are
my
big
branding.
Shot. You are a big shot.
Yeah. Makes me think of the Billy Joel song. It is marketing. It is the things we do for business. And I'm glad that what I'm hearing you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm okay with being wrong, mm-hmm. Is that you relanguage people. You may use the word failure to get their attention, but mm-hmm. you relanguage that definition in the working of with them.
Yes, exactly. And it's to attract them, right? Because I need to speak to them where they are today. So what I have to remember is I need to speak to me, who I used to be. And that was the person who, again, you know, beating myself, own worst enemy. I was a failure. I was, you know, lazy. I all these terms that I used for myself that unfortunately I've been in this personal development working out for about 5 years. And I don't like to live there. Like, I don't like my head to go there anymore. But unfortunately, I know I need to go there in order to be able to have them know that I really know what they're going through today. And that they can get out of it, because I can show them that I'm not there anymore, because this is like where I live is in a different place today.
Mentally. Well, and, I was just having this conversation with one of my classes this week, because besides having a client practice, I also teach. And in one of my classes, I was pointing out the difference between I used to have the humor, because you and I have some similarities. I was raised on a steady diet of that I was stupid, I was lazy, and I would never make anything of myself. That's what I heard 3 to 5 mm-hmm. nights a week at the supper dinner at the supper table. This is what I heard. And I in my 20s I would make jokes about not being the brightest bulb on the tree. The thing mm-hmm. is, the self-deprecating had a truth to it, because I at that point still gave them the power and bought them in. Now I can make jokes about it, but it's a different kind of humor, because I no longer believe it, and I know that it's not true, but it never completely loses a little tiny bit of its, oh, because I think we're not ever supposed to forget it, so that we never accidentally repeat it. So there's still,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And you know, it's funny. I remember junior high school. I was always a tomboy. You know, I always hung out with the boys. I don't know why, but I didn't play with dolls. I'd rather play sports and stuff. And so I was always hanging out with the boys. And I remember, you know, you're in seventh grade. Oh my God, so awkward, right? I had zero boobs, you know, and I just was a small girl. I was flat chested. So I always got made fun of. Oh, pirate's dream. You're a pirate's treasure. And I always got made fun of. So what did I learn to do? Just exactly what you said. I learned to tease myself before they could do it, and I would beat them to it so that I would get the best of them. And then what happened is I started believing it. I believed all those negative things I said about myself, because, you know, they said it, and I'm just going to solidify it, and I believed it. I don't anymore. Thank goodness. That was tough.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the And it is tough. And it's also, we have, I work on a perspective of, you know, that that our culture has been abusing us since the 1950s, through media and through the needing to give us problems. So Madison Avenue giving us problems so Wall Street could make money by selling us the solutions.
Right.
And they were all in bed together. So they systematically started to destroy our self-worth and self-esteem. It was an intentional thing. If you feel like you're bad, wrong, that you'll never be loved, you're always not part of the tribe, then you're going to buy whatever we're going to sell you that's going to be the solution for a problem that we gave you that you never really had until we gave it to you.
Yeah. Oh, my God, so true. I don't love that, but I love that. You know what I mean? It's like one of those sad, funny truths. And it really isn't that way. In business, you know, people are trying to get ahead and trying not to go back to a job. And you know, so they're coming up with all these problems that we have, like you said, that we don't really have, but we believe we have them because they are so good at helping us to believe in what they say about us.
And you just brought up an interesting point, and I do need to move at some point to where you want to take us behind the curtain, because you were a wonderful guest that did all of the homework, but I don't want to get too off. But you know, you said something, and you know, that whole entrepreneur gig is so misrepresented in so many ways, because people think that somehow it's going to give them a certain kind of freedom, which entrepreneurialism doesn't give you the kind of freedom that a lot of times people are thinking it's going to give them. I'll be my own boss. I'll work when I want to. I don't.
Like, you know,
as long as you're selling a product or a service or you're doing something, your clients are now your boss, because if they don't buy
right.
it, you're in the bread yeah. line. But I mean, and you know, when people say to me, what do you do for work? I go, I don't do work. I do joy. I get up every day and I get paid to be me, and it doesn't get any better than that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we bring into the entrepreneurial mindset of this isn't about just being your own boss. This is about getting paid for your passion and your gifts and your talents and getting paid for being who you are, because that's the true golden gift of entrepreneurialism.
It is, because people say, oh, I can work my own hours. Well, yeah, if you work your own hours, like, you know, maybe 10 to 12, you're not going to make any money. So you're going to be back at a job. So, yeah, a lot of times entrepreneurship is working 14, 18, sometimes 20 hours in a day just to make it, and you know, until you hit the big time. But I think that there's that those people who are extremely successful, you know, very wealthy and are making it, they speak in a way that I believe that they speak in a way that makes it so we believe that we can get there in a day, not realizing that it took them 3 years, 10 years, 20 years, however many years to get there. We skip that step.
And there are two kinds out there. This is just my personal belief system, so please feel free to challenge it, because I love it when somebody
mm-hmm.
does.
Well, I hope I can.
There are two ways that you look at entrepreneurs that end up successful. And one are chasing their dreams, and one are running away from their demons.
Mm. Yep.
And the demon, then ones that are running away from their demons, they're the workaholics that will always be a workaholic, will never have dealt with their own personal issues, will never, ever really be happy, because they will never prove, because the person, whoever, whatever the person or the ideology or the idea that they're trying to prove something to, doesn't care.
That's true. And, you know, unfortunately, I can't argue with you on that, because I really wish I could. But I was that same situation. I had to ask myself, am I running away or am I running to something? Because I wasn't sure. I ran away when I was 5 years old, and I was gone an entire week. And that was kind of like the start of my running away. And then when I started working jobs, I had 49 jobs. So was I running away or was I running to something better? When I left my corporate job, my last corporate job 5 years ago, was I running away or was I running to something better? I haven't really figured out the answer, and I don't think it's important for me to know the answer myself. It's as long as, like, now I am living in joy. Every day I get up and I'm doing what I love to do. And so to me, like you said, you know, that to me is the entrepreneurial freedom that so many people are looking for, is that you are actually enjoying your life while you're trying to figure this shit up called, you know, entrepreneurship and how the hell am I going to make some money? You know, but you're enjoying it because it's like, whoa, what am I going to do?
And, you know, and I would say that though you say you don't know that it's important for you to know it, and I actually disagree with that, because I think all knowledge empowers us to become better. And especially any kind of self-knowledge. But I would say there was a moment when you went running from to running to, and you ran to the experiences you needed to make happen what happened 5 years ago. So I think you it's a line that you crossed at some point. Because I was switching jobs every 2 to 2.5 years in my 20s because I'd always reached the golden ceiling of, well, you know, we're not going to promote you again for a while, or you're not going to get exactly what you want, or we're somehow going to limit what you're going to do and we're going to keep you in a box. And I'm like, okay, so where's my double barrel shotgun so I can kind of like blow the holes in this box? The next one is taking my listeners behind the curtain, which is exposing them to a truth, something that you think is going on out there in the world. And I do want to remind my listeners that if they go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, you get a full write-up about Linda Sunshine West here. And she does do entrepreneurial coaching is one of the things she does. She does help entrepreneurs to be successful, which is one of the reasons why I dragged her into that conversation. She was kicking and screaming the whole way, I could tell. But
I love it.
Where would you like to expose people to some kind of truth that you think that is getting that we're getting a spin that doesn't let us see what the truth is out there?
This is one that it drives me bonkers, and there aren't a whole lot of things that drive me bonkers, but this is one of them. And that is, I've been recently wanting to debunk the experts. Because just like what I mentioned earlier is, you know, there's people out there who are telling us we need to do this, we need to do that, this is the way we have to do everything. But then I go talk to another person who's an expert in the same field, and they tell me opposite. But I think for me, it just drives me nuts how they are, a lot of experts out there are telling us that this is the only way to do it. And a lot of people buy into it. I was one of those. I would attend events and I would spend $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 on the panacea that they told me that they were selling. But then the reality was that when it got down to it, it wasn't what they sold, you know? And it really drives me nuts that people are taking advantage of people to that point. It's like, they're just dollar signs to them. I see people as human beings, and I really want to help them to grow as people. And so I've had people I've turned away, or I've had people buy into my program, and I'm like, you know what? This program's not right for you. Here's your money back. Because I want to see the people thrive. It's not about me becoming rich. It's about me being able to actually help them. And that is one thing that just drives me nuts.
See? Ms. Linda Sunshine, that's because you have integrity. And for you, getting rich is living a joyful life, which you can't do if you're out of integrity. We'll be right back with Linda Sunshine West and WomenTakeAction.com.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wound, sir?
911, what's your emergency?
Please, help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last of the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times. Remember, we're a live call-in show. Feel free to call in at 202-570-7057, 202-570-7057, or come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. Make sure you like my page when you're there, because I'm a likable guy. If you need any verification for that, my guest will tell you in a minute that I'm a likable guy, or I'll have to disconnect her. There you will find all the information about tonight's guest, all the ways that you can get in touch with her. She has started something, Women Action Takers Mastermind and Accountability Program. And I will tell you, you can find out more about that at www.womenactiontakers.com. There is an S on that, so womenactiontakers.com. So please make sure you check her out. So, Miss Linda, I couldn't agree with you more about the experts. And, you know, one of the things is that the reason you do have other people out there like you that do have an integrity of, I really am trying to help people. I'm just not shaking you down. But there are a lot of them, I'm just shaking you down. And and how to become a millionaire. Well, I became a millionaire by telling all you people how to become a millionaire, but I wasn't one when I started the program. It just drives me crazy. It basically says, be the best con artist possible and you'll become a millionaire. But it's about finding the expert that shares the right hue or palette or vibration or lane or whatever you want to call it. You have to find the expert that is similar enough to you in your personality type and how you see the world and how you do the world. If you have a deep conversation with an expert and you feel like this is somebody that would be one of my best friends and we're very much in sync, then that expert can probably help you, because whatever they did is likely to work for you. If you have an expert that is absolutely opposite in it, the way they see the world and how they function, well, they are no expert for you, because you have to find the expert that actually is in harmony with you. Does that make sense?
Completely. And yes, Dr. Kevin is a very nice guy. Don't hang up on me.
Oh, I'm going to have you back. You're fun.
Thank you. Well, you know, and that is so, so true, because like attracts like. And so what's kind of a weird thing about that, in my opinion, is that who I am today, am I going to attract the people that I'm going to help, or am I going to attract the people who I am today, right? So how do I attract my old me while being able to still being the new me? Because the people I want to attract are the people who are where I was 5 years ago, because those are the ones I know I can help the most. So it's interesting. It's like this weird line that we have to kind of draw and figuring out what language are we speaking to them. Again, you're talking about that language. What language am I speaking to them so that they're attracted to me enough that they can see that I can also give them what they want? You know, so it's like, whoa, craziness.
You know, my primary practice for the last 30 years has been as a spiritual coach, counselor, and catalyst. And, I differ a lot there are ways in which you would look at my practice and you might think I'm a cross between a coach and a counselor, and you might think of a therapist, looking at my stuff. And all of those would fit to a certain degree. But one of the places that I'm very different than a lot of people that are in the more traditionally professional fields, I created my own because I didn't fit into any of those lanes.
Did you air quote when you said traditional? the Air Corps yet.
No, what they supposed to.
No, I envisioned you air quoting traditional.
I guess I could have. So it's, but with this, I'm always very upfront and honest, and I respected right off the bat when you said, well, I was abused in my childhood. And I think that when you share with people, warts and all, and you go, like earlier when I said, and sometimes if somebody still, you know, something happens, my stupid button or my lazy button can get triggered, you know, but I recognize it really quickly and I see what it is and I know what it is and I step right beyond it and I go, okay. But, you know, I think that as you step out there and you share your story, you will find that the identifiers just come to you. Even saying something as powerful as, you know, we're always talking about addicts. And I was addicted to beating myself up. Any addicts out there in my 12-step program?
I know, really. I was seeing that one.
Yeah. I'm the queen of beating yourself up addiction, and I beat the addiction. So any of you out there that are still struggling with that addiction, come over here because I've got those 12 steps down because I had to friggin' climb them. I had to build them.
Hey, check this out, Dr. Kevin. That's beating yourself up, BYU.
And they know how to beat some people up.
Exactly. And you know, it's so true though that you know, speaking about, you know, the language that we use on ourselves and the language we use on other people, and that's what I think really gets me, really what's the saying, chaps my hide, you know, is when these experts are out there talking and saying things that they know that they need to say because they've learned the words to use in order to get you to feel obligated or to feel like you have to have this thing, whatever it is. I actually eliminated the word obligation from my vocabulary 7 years ago. I was like, I am tired of doing things just because I feel obligated. And I stopped, and it was immediate, boom. I took action on it and I stopped, you know, doing things out of obligation. And boy, did that start to change. That kind of the start of the changing of my life.
Well, and you know, and there is such a different energy between obligation and commitment and agreed upon expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where people sometimes, I think, get confused and they don't always recognize an obligation is something that's put upon you. You know, and you have to choose to pick it up. You have to choose to fulfill the obligation. But when you're obligated, it's something external is obligating you versus I joke all the time. I do all the cooking in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always and sometimes people will tease my husband that, you know, or say something because I'll be like, you know, well, it's part of the marital contract. You know, I get up every morning, even if I don't have to cook him breakfast to make sure he has a good breakfast because he goes off to work.
Mm-hmm.
He never asked me to do that. He did not obligate me to do that. I committed to that because I feel good about getting up every morning and knowing that he would not eat as well if I didn't make breakfast. And that's the difference is the obligation versus committing to something or having agreed upon expectations about something that you participated in.
Can I come to your house for breakfast?
You can come to my house for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I tell everybody, I feed people. I'm having a dozen people over to my house for Thanksgiving.
Wow.
One of the things I do, I feed people.
That's awesome. Well, I'm in California, so it's quite a trek for me to come out for a meal. But when I'm in town, I'll come by for sure.
Yeah. Hey, if you come to the Boston area, come break.
There we go.
So in our last remaining minutes, this is the What a Load of Crap segment, which is you get to let you're going to let rip whatever you think is going on in the world that's just a load of crap, and why?
Gosh, there's so much. It's like eeny, meeny, miny, moe, right? Like, which one do I pick? Well, I'm going to go back to the politics, because we started with the politics at the very beginning. And even though it's a topic that I don't, like, dive into, I still have my own thoughts and views and opinions on it. And my thoughts on it is that I don't understand why politicians feel the need to just, like, hammer each other and be mean. And I don't think that that's a good way to get people on your side, but I guess it works because people get voted into office. And it seems kind of like the nastier you are, the more likely you are to get voted into office. And so I kind of want to talk about that and find out, like, why. Why is that it?
Well, you know, the thing is, our political
can we all just get along?
Can we just all get along? Well, you know, and my guy for president is Mayor Pete. And as you're looking at things and looking over at things, because please tell me you are going to vote when the presidential elections come around, no matter who you vote for, please tell me you're going to vote.
I am voting, yeah.
Yeah. So make sure you check out Mayor Pete, because one of the things that actually distinguishes him is he's such a gentleman. He doesn't attack. He doesn't holler. He doesn't scream. He keeps a calm, unflappable demeanor that gives an answer, and he can make you look foolish with his answer because what you said was foolish, but that's okay. He doesn't like attack him and isn't mean. But one of the things we have to understand is Washington gets to stay in charge as long as they keep us at each other's throats. And this drama that goes into Washington, it, to me, has the same kind of energy as watching a worldwide federation wrestling match. It's a lot of show-stopping, nonsensical drama that has no place in the running of this government, period. But what happens is, if they keep us at each other's throats, if they keep us in an us and them, are you a red or a blue? Are you a this or a that? And if you're that, then this is what you need to think, and this is what you need to do. As long as they tie up the majority of the American people into some kind of divisive hate mode, they keep getting reelected because they know the divisiveness and the hate to spew to keep their voters happy, because they gave them that hate to have. They played on it. They identified it. The hate, the fear, the anger. And we have allowed politicians to screw us over as taxpayers, screw us over as Americans, to take advantage of the system. And they do it by keeping us divisive. And this wrestling show that we call Washington, D.C., is just the epitome of the ludicrousness that we as American people have allowed to happen because we buy into this hateful talk.
Do you think Americans are scared to stand up?
I think that Americans are, by the most part, I think that Americans are apathetic. I think that the stretching of the economy, so it's harder and harder to survive in middle class, and the number of people that have to work two jobs in order to make the rent or put food on the table, the version of health care that's so expensive that they've created so many nightmares in this country that keep so many Americans so self-involved in just survival that's how they stay in power. If
oh my God, don't get me started on that.
Hey, you brought the topic up.
We don't have time. We don't have time. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's so true. Like talking about that, you know, one of the things that, again, it drives me nuts there is the welfare system, because they don't pay them enough money for them to, the divide between getting off of welfare and actually having a job. You'll make less money if you have a job than if you're on welfare. So there's no incentive to get off of welfare. And that one just, it just chaps my hide. I don't know why I'm using that word today. I don't ever use it, but I am today.
It's okay. As long as they keep us squabbling with each other in survival mode and disenfranchised, Washington doesn't have to change. Washington has just become a really bad soap opera with a ton of bad actors. They exist in both parties, and a thriving American people where everybody was really equal and everybody got a fair chance to get their part of the pie, that was treated with respect, that didn't have to live in survival mode, would be tossing that set of jokers out on their behinds.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to empower an American people, because an empowered American people is going to toss out this highly dysfunctional, owned by corporate America, Washington, D.C., and spot it and see it for the atrocity it is.
Yeah.
Linda Sunshine West, Mastermind and Accountability Coach, Women Action Takers, Mastermind and Accountability Program. Find out more about her at www.womenactiontakers.com, or go to My Dr. Kevin on Facebook, and you'll find all the ways to contact her. Linda, tell me you're going to come back and play with me sometime.
I hope so. Invite me back. I'll be back for sure.
Okay. You have a great night.
Thank you.